Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 65th Berlin International Film Festival. Today I'm with Sebastian Silva, director of Nasty Baby. So welcome, Sebastian.
Well, hello guys. Thanks for having me.
So you're coming from Sundance and now Berlin. How is Berlin treating you so far?
I mean, I just got here 2 days ago. It's been great. The first night I partied too hard and the jet lag was kind of crazy, so I was really beat and I thought I wouldn't make it for the next day. But then yesterday I went to Liquid Room, which is a spa, and I spent my entire day there, and then I went to bed at 9:30, and now here I am trying to sound smart.
You will. So I wanted to ask you first, like, if you could give us, like, for our listeners, a brief introduction of your film. Especially, I want to hear it from your words.
Okay, I'm gonna try because it's really a hard movie to kind of make a synopsis. But basically, it's a film that deals with gentrification and parenthood and race issues and sexuality, and also it's a film that dares the expectation of an audience and what they believe a story should be. No, wait, let me take that back. No, because, I mean, there is, like, the movie, you know, that has, like, the tonal shift in the third act that makes the movie a complete different sort of experience, you know? And so the movie is also about experimenting with your audience expectation. But yeah, that's what it is. But I mean, in more concrete terms, it's a movie about a gay couple with a straight friend that are trying to have a baby, and they're having, like, the usual conflicts, you know. And then parallel to that, there is a seemingly homeless man that moves into their gentrified neighborhood only to terrorize them and scare them, and he becomes a big threat. And then these two stories start to combine, the baby making and the bishop. I mean, the bishop is the name of the homeless person. And then their peace is sort of interrupted by this man, and then really unexpected, sort of upsetting events take place.
Where does the idea on Nasty Baby comes from?
I mean, it comes from so many different places because there are a lot of elements to it. There is the Nasty Baby performance that the main character is attempting to get into a gallery show, you know, like an art show. And then there's also the story of the bishop, who is this man that is, like, threatening their peace. And then there is the story of them trying to have a baby, you know. So the Nasty Baby performance comes from an idea that I had, I don't know, 12 years ago, where I thought that embodying a three-month-old baby was an exercise to sort of overcome embarrassment as a way of breaking the barrier, basically, of embarrassment and dissolving the ego by doing so. So that's one thing. And then the bishop was kind of like a personal experience that I had with a man that was living in a neighborhood that I was in, and the neighborhood was really peaceful and beautiful, gentrified, full of hipsters, whatever. And then there was with this one man that was being overly aggressive, especially to women, and he was annoying everybody. And then I had started fantasizing with killing him, like what it would be to get rid of this person, and then who would miss him. And then thinking that how awful it is that there are actually people out there that can kill other people and get away with it, because there's a lot of them. It's kind of a privilege. I don't want to call it a privilege because it's so evil and karma would only get to later. But yeah, there are people that can kill and then get away with it. I mean, you name it, you know, governments, policemen, they can kill and get away. So this is sort of like a civilian example of that, you know, of three sort of seemingly well-off hipsters that get rid of a handicapped black man, I mean mentally handicapped black man, that it's bothering everyone so nobody will miss him, and then justice sort of vanishes.
Talking about New York, for example, with a friend who has been living there for 3 months, and she was talking to me about a particular neighborhood in Brooklyn. She was telling me that it was changing so fast. So she was like, 6 months ago she was scared of going back home, and now it's suddenly changing. So, and I was thinking, we were thinking, so, but where did the other people go? Watching this film, you know, the bishop sort of represents, I think so, I mean, sort of another social situation, that other kind of people with different background that are still living there or living other places that we're sort of forgetting about.
I mean, that's exactly, he's representing somehow himself. I mean, those are the people that are like quickly being removed from their own houses. It's not that they're forcing them out, but I mean, they offer them like these incredible, absurd sums of money, and then they're displacing them. I don't know where they go. Maybe they go to their hometowns, or if that was their hometown, they find another place where rent is cheaper, you know, because the living standards of the and the expenses of those neighborhoods now are so hard to afford, you know, especially for like middle lower class. Like, it's impossible. They cannot even go buy groceries there. It's just too insane, you know. So I mean, that's what's happening, and it's happening not only in New York but everywhere else, you know.
And I read in your press notes that you said that you hoped that the film left people morally confused. I have to say I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Because I was telling some colleagues and people that I felt a little bit guilty, mm-hmm. because I sort of started to, I don't want to say take sides, but I was kind of hoping that everything could turn out okay. Even if I knew it was totally weird to me that they were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, it's very weird.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's exactly the moral conflict that I was referring to when I say that I hope people remain morally conflicted after watching the film. I mean, it's a tough call, you know, because I mean, the proper thing to feel, or the politically correct thing to feel, would be, yeah, they need to get caught by the police. They killed an innocent man or a crazy man, you know, they killed somebody that was unarmed and they got rid of the body, and then they seem that they might get away with it, you know. So it is really incorrect what they just did, you know. But then again, you can think that good people do bad things sometimes, and then that is not that they're going to start killing everyone. It was only circumstantial and somehow an accident. That's how it's kind of portrayed in the movie, right? Because Freddy hits him with the six pack of beers, and then he falls, he breaks his head, and there is like a sequence of sort of like mistakes and accidents that lead Freddy to kill him finally, you know. When he finds out that she's pregnant, that's what triggers him to go and finish the bishop, you know. So, and then the movie manages to make the audience feel sympathy for the killers, you know, which is a very manipulative move from myself to make the audience feel that way, you know. But I guess that's where the conflict sort of lays, you know, where justice seems, there is such a blurry line of what's good and what's bad, and Is it better that they go to jail? Like, should they go to jail? Polly with the baby should go to jail, all of them. I mean, yes, they should, because they kill somebody, but then if they were your best friends, would you want them to go to jail, or you would hide the secret with them? Like, it's an open invitation. I'm not taking any sides, and I feel that it would be really awful for me to say that I hope that they never get caught, because what they did is terribly wrong, you know. But again, there are people out there killing other people, you know, and they are getting away with it in front of our eyes, you know. Governments do that, and police in the States are doing it, you know.
Plus, the way it happens in the film, it makes you think that it could happen to everybody like that. I mean, to a certain point at least.
Yeah, I mean, that it could happen to anyone. Yeah. I mean, like, that's one of the things that that it was really, like, really purposely done in the movie, that you make your audience feel identified with these characters as much as you can, you know. They have a desire to have a family. They all kind of work in different things. One is, like, into the design furniture building. The other one is doing weird art. The other one is a doctor, you know. It's, like, as generic as possible, you know, so everybody can feel identified with them and their friendship and everything. And then these people that you have managed to make your audience love and feel identified with all throughout the film, then you see them getting involved in the most horrific possible act, which is killing a defenseless man in a bathtub, you know, and then all sort of plotting together But then at the same time, you see them cry for what they just did. They feel so sorry, and they, Freddy, as he's killing the bishop, he's apologizing. So it's really confusing morally to, like, you know, to it really puts you in a hard spot as an audience.
Did you choose, and why did you choose to act in your film?
This is my sixth movie, you know, and like it's not that I made 40, but it gets a little repetitive, I have to say. Like, after, like, the process is very similar, and then you're shooting the movie, and then you're giving directions, and then you're editing. It just gets a little monotonous, really, you know. So just to put myself in the movie was like a challenge, and I was somehow setting myself up for failure, and that was very, it had a certain sort of amount of adrenaline just to be there and be like, maybe I can fuck this movie up and then I'm gonna be terrible. And it was challenging. It was just, I needed another challenge. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons. And then also, in a very selfish sort of way, I wanted to see myself go through what Freddy goes. Like, what is it to become a father and make life, and what is it to take life away? Like, I wanted to see those two aspects and portray them and embody them and act them out, and then see myself later doing that.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you. Good luck for the film.
Thank you, yeah. Send your people.
Yes, I will. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 65th Berlin International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.